you got your Bible, I want you to go to two openings, Genesis chapter 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at a couple of openings. And a few weeks ago, I did a whole series of messages on living life in high definition. And we talked about the law of the source. You remember that? Talking about the law of the source? That the source, everything comes from a source. Now we know that God created everything. But there are certain things that after He created them, He turned to them and said, bring forth. Like He spoke to the ground and He says, bring forth the plants and bring forth the animals and bring forth this and bring forth that. He spoke to the sea and He told the sea to bring forth certain things. That became its source. And we found out that source determines four things. Does anybody remember what those four things are that we've studied? Number one, function. A source determines something's function. Number two, it determines its purpose. Everything that is created has a purpose. And the source determines its function, what it does, its purpose, how it's designed to live that out. Number three is its potential. And that has to do with the power. There are certain things that are empowered to do certain things. Remember the banana? Does anybody remember me eating a banana? Where does the banana come from? It comes from the ground. What determines the banana's function? The ground. What determines its purpose? The ground. What determines its potential? The ground. It gets the nutrients out of the ground, stores it in there so that the banana can fulfill its purpose, which is to enrich our lives. It's food to us. It's food to animals. It's food. And then it determines its rain. So it determines the function, the purpose, the potential, and the range. When God created man, He spoke to Himself and said, "Let us make man in our image." We are the only thing in God's creation that is created directly from the source of God Himself. Everything else He created and then He commanded that to bring forth. But when God created man, He spoke to Himself. Man's function is determined by God Himself. Man's purpose is determined by God Himself. Man's potential or man's power comes from God Himself. And man's range comes from God Himself. And when God created man, it said He created him in His own image after His own likeness. And He turned to him and He said, "Be fruitful, be multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion and authority in the earth." We were designed by God. Our function, purpose, potential, and range is determined by God. God made us. And in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, it says this, "And God formed man out of the dust of the ground." He's talking about his body. God fashioned man's body out of the dust of the ground. When we die, where does our body go? It goes back to the dust, doesn't it? Okay? It goes back to its source, which is the ground. Our body comes from the dirt. We're the dirt man. We're made from dirt. But then something that makes us different than anything else, it says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Here we see the divine makeup of man. We have a body. But when God created that body, until He breathed into it the breath of life, it had no life. When God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, something happened. The breath of God going into him, which was man's spirit, created a living soul. Now, it's important for us to understand this. In fact, I love something that Andrew Womack said. Does anybody know who Andrew Womack is? You can see him on most of the Christian stations. He's a pretty solid teacher. And he said this, understanding spirit, soul, and body is critically important to every believer. It's like the key that opens the treasure chest of God's grace. It could be a matter of life and death, and it's the foundation of understanding the rest of the Scripture. If we're really going to understand Scripture, and we're really going to understand our role in God's kingdom, then spirit, soul, and body is something that we need to understand. In Christian circles, there are different viewpoints that people teach. And let me say this again. I've said this often. It is important what you are taught. I hear people say, well, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does really matter. It really does. How many of you know you've been around church long enough to know that there's some good doctrine and there's some bad doctrine? There's some things out there that are true, and there's some things out there that are mixed, and there's some things out there that are not true at all. And your responsibility as a believer is to stay with the Word of God, to stay true to the Scripture. Because it's the Scripture that is the key. It's scriptural understanding is the key for us to find our full potential in the things of God. If we misunderstand something, it limits our function. It limits our purpose. It limits our ability to be what we're supposed to be. And have you not been around here long enough that you have learned that you have come to the kingdom not for yourself, but for God's glory? You are in God's kingdom for His glory. That's why you're here. That's why you're in the earth. That's why you're created in the likeness, in the image of God. That's why you're higher than animal life. That's why you're higher than any other kind of life in this earth. Human beings are made in the likeness, in the image of God. You say, man, I know a lot of people, they don't act like God. I understand. We've fallen far from our potential. We've fallen far from that. But when we begin to understand this truth that's in the Bible, this truth that will unlock the treasures of the Word of God to you. Now, there are people who teach that man is an animal. This is taught in our world that man is an animal. He's just a higher form of animal. The Bible does not teach us as being animals. I honestly don't believe that we came from monkeys. Do you? I don't believe that we came from a monkey. I don't believe that we morphed from some other species. We may have common traits with monkeys. Some of us can be monkeys sometimes. We can act like monkeys, but listen, we're not monkeys. We're human beings created in the image of God. So part of that teaching is erroneous, that we're animals. This is why human life is such a vital thing. And this is why that taking a human life is a serious issue. Now, shooting a deer is not a serious issue. One of the reasons that the animals were put here was for us to eat. I don't believe I ought to kill animals. Well, you let somebody else kill your animals before you eat them. You don't mind that, but animals have to die for us to have food. They were put here for our food. The vegetables, the fruits, the beef, the deer, all of that was put here for our enjoyment, okay? And to take the life of an animal is one thing. But to take the life of a human being is a much more serious thing. Why is that? Because we were made in God's image. We are made, I'll say it another way that sounds a little more heretical, that we were made in God's class. We're not gods, but we were made in His class. We're the only creature that has ever been created in God's image, in God's class. Now, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Everything in creation reflects the nature of its creation, but none is supposed to reflect it like we are as human beings. And when God did this thing in Genesis 2:7, where He formed man's body out of the earth, He breathed life, spirit, into that body, and the spirit coming into that body created the what we call consciousness, or man became a living soul. So what do we see? We see spirit, which comes from God, body, which comes from the earth. The intermingling of the two produces consciousness or soul. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll see this ideal brought forth into the New Testament. There are many Christians who teach that man is only two parts, that we're body and soul. They're body and soul. And I understand that because there's sometimes that the word soul is used in a different context. But if we truly try to understand Scripture and we let the Scripture interpret the Scripture, we're going to see that there is a difference between the spirit and the soul. You say, well, what does it matter? It matters a whole lot. It matters a whole lot. As we do this, you're going to be amazed at how much that you're influenced by the flesh. We call ourselves being Christian, but yet we're led more by our flesh than we are by the Spirit. And what we want to do as Christians is to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now that's not some Twilight Zone phrase like, oh, you're walking around and, you know, you're... No, it means walking in part of your nature that God has given you. And we're going to try to make distinctions between these because we need to understand them because it will unlock so much to our understanding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means your whole man. That God wants to sanctify you as a whole. Well, now, if there is a whole, then there has to be parts, doesn't there? If we have a whole, then we have parts, don't we? See, here's the thing. You cannot distinguish your parts. And I'm talking about spirit, soul, and body. When I look at Randy, I see his body. I don't see his spirit, and I don't see his soul. But Randy is three in one, and one in three. It's kind of like trying to explain the Trinity. How do you explain Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? He is three in one, and one in three. Well, how do you explain Randy? Well, we've been trying to explain Randy for a long time, but he is one in three, and three in one. What we see, what we come in contact with, is his body. But he has a soul, and he has a spirit. And what God wants to do is sanctify us as a whole. And then He goes on to say, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that it's possible? Okay, this is going to blow some folks' minds. It's possible to be right in one part of your being and wrong in another part of your being. You can be right with God in your spirit and wrong in your thinking. There's a whole lot of people that are that way. That's why we have so many opinions in the body of Christ. Are you out there today? I know these kids are hard to follow, but I'm trying. You can be right in your heart and wrong in your head. You can be right in your spirit and wrong in your thinking. There's going to be a lot of people who are in heaven that you're going to be surprised that they're there. Because they're so screwed up in the way that they think. And you think, dear God, how could God ever... They're right in their spirit, but they're wrong in their thinking. I want to tell you something. Your thinking is not a part of your spirit. Your thinking is a part of your soul. Now, let me go ahead and make this statement. Number one, you are a spirit. You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. The real essence of you is a spirit. The Bible says that God is a spirit. And we're made in whose likeness and whose image? You know, God is not a body. God is not a soul. God probably has those, but He is not that. And if God is a spirit, then guess what we are? We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. What happens when somebody passes? And we go to the visitation, and we go to the funeral, and we go to the front, and we look in the casket, and we say, you know what? They're not really there. What are we saying? That's not their body? Yeah, that's their body. That's their shell that they live in. But what we're saying is that real person that we knew is not really there. That's only what's left. That's what's left, and it's not there. What is the real us? The real part of us is the part that's gone when we die. Paul said to be absent from the body. To be absent from the body. He divorced himself from the body in this understanding. He says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Does your body go to heaven when you die? Why doesn't it? Because it goes back to its source, which is the what? The ground, the dust. This is not the godly part of you. Okay? In fact, this has no nature. Okay. So we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. With the spirit, we know God. With the body, we know the natural realm. With the soul, we are self-conscious. Adam did not become self-conscious until God breathed into him the breath of life, and spirit met body, and soul was the result. He became aware of himself. I can't hear your thoughts. Thank God. Aren't you glad that people can't hear your thoughts? You know who your thoughts are for? They're for you. Your reasoning facilities, your thinking apparatus. In fact, your soul is your mind, that's your thinking processes. Your will, that's your ability to choose. And your emotions, that's how you feel. Now, a lot of people think that their spirit is their emotions, and it's not. It's not. In fact, we have no discernible way to measure our spirit. It strictly is in contact with the spiritual realm where God lives. There's only one way that you can know God, and that's with your spirit. Let me ask you a question. When a person makes Jesus Lord, and we say that they are born again, what is it that's changed? Is it your body? It's not your body. Your body doesn't change. If you were bald-headed when you got saved, you was bald-headed after you got saved. If you had tattoos before you got saved, you still have tattoos, don't you? If you was ugly before you got saved, you're probably ugly still. If you was pretty, you're probably pretty. Your physical features do not change. What about all your thinking? Does all of your thinking get straightened out when you get saved? Does all of your craziness that goes on in your head? Does all of your problems get solved that has to do with your upbringing and your dysfunctional lifestyle? Does that change? No, that doesn't change. That's the soul. What is it that has changed? It's the spirit. Now let me show that to you. Go with me to John chapter 6. And this has to do with the story of Nicodemus. Remember the story of Nicodemus? Nicodemus was one of the rulers of the synagogue, and he comes to Jesus by night, and he's talking to Jesus and asking him questions, and Jesus turns to him and says, "Unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus says, "Well, teacher, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Nicodemus was not understanding what Jesus was talking about. He was equating going to heaven with a physical experience. How can my body be born again? And Jesus says, "I'm not talking about your body." And look in verse 63. Jesus makes this statement. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." What does flesh produce? Flesh produces flesh, doesn't it? Okay? "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What was Jesus talking about? He's talking about when we get born again, when we get saved, it's our spirit that's born again. Now, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, and most of us know this story, but there might be one here that don't know, so I'll tell it for them. Man was created in the likeness and the image of God. Man, in his pristine condition, was not made to die. He was made to live forever in a physical human body. He had a mind that was amazing. And his spirit was like God's. He was in perfect fellowship with God. He didn't know everything, but yet he had an innocence about him. There was no sin in him. There was no death in him. He was made in his pristine condition to be like God. And God gave him dominion of the earth. And he told him one thing. He says, "Of all of the trees of the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't you eat it, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." The Hebrew literally says, "In dying you shall die." And what God was saying is, if you eat of that, you're going to die and begin to die. In dying you shall die. What was he talking about? Remember, man was created to live forever in his physical body. Do you know that when you go to heaven, we sing that song, "On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life." You didn't know I could sing, did you? Ow! I don't do it often. We said, we're going to get a new body. What kind of body are we going to get? We're going to get a perfect body. We're going to get a glorified body. We're going to get a body that don't sweat. That don't get fat. Woo, glory. It's not going to get old. It's not going to get wrinkled. It's going to be a perfect body, and we're going to live in that flesh and bone body throughout eternity. See, we were created to live in a body. We're not going to be chubby little cherubims with wings floating on a cloud and playing a harp. Let me say this to you, that when people die, they do not become angels. We're not. I don't know where that ever got. Maybe from the movie or something. But, you know, we're not Clarence the Angel, you know. Trying to get our wings. No. We're always going to be human beings. But we'll have a body. But what happened when man sinned? Where did he die? Did he die in his body? No. Did he die in his mind? No. He died in his spirit. His spirit was separated from God. That is the definition of death, is separation. When we die physically, what happens? Wow. When we die physically, what happens? Our body and our spirit are separated. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? There's no life there. Spiritual death is separation of our spirit from God's spirit. And that's what happened when Adam sinned. Now let me ask you, remember the law of the source? The law of the source says that the source of something determines its function, its purpose, its potential, and its range. What happened when man was separated from God? What happened to his potential? What happened to his purpose? What happened to his function? And what happened to his range? It was not changed, but it was altered by the fact that it was separated from God. If you remove something from its source, it dies. That's the law of the source. To have life, you have to be connected to your source. When Adam sinned, he was disconnected from his source, and he began to die. All of his works produced death. Everything produces after its own kind. You say, well, I know some people that are not saved who do good things. Yes, I do too. In fact, I know unbelievers who live better lives than most Christians. But you know the sad thing is, they may live a good life, but the moment that they die, they're still separated from God. That's the horrible truth of that. And that's why we call this message today, First Things First. Because you could be right in your mind and in your thinking. You could have a pristine looking body. You could look like Lou Ferrigno without the green, the Credible Hulk, for those of you who don't know. Some of you don't watch movies, do you? You could look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You could look like, well, I'm not going to describe women. You could look like the perfect woman. But all that produces is death. If the spirit's not right, that may produce for a while in this realm, but when it's all gone, for eternity, it's all over. See, we were designed by God to produce eternal things. Spirit, soul, and body. But if we are separated from God, we may be able to produce some good things, but they will not have eternal value because they are separated from the source. And when we talk about spirit, soul, and body, it's necessary that we talk about the spirit first, because if that is not right, everything that's after that will be death. You can go through a drug treatment program, and you can get off drugs without God. You can get enough information, and I don't know that you can really do it without God, but what I'm saying, without giving your heart to Jesus. And the sad thing is, when it's all over and you die, you're still lost. Eternally, you're lost. And it needs to start with God, and it needs to start with our spirit. Being right with God in our spirit. Being connected. And the law of connection says that we only have life if we're connected to our source. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, listen, you must be born again. Nicodemus think, okay, how can, you know, I'm a full grown old man and I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born. What are you talking about? And Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit, spirit. Your spirit must be born again. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. These are scriptures that most of us know. It says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ. Okay, we need to look at that, and what does that mean to be in Christ? Let me say what it doesn't say. If anyone goes to church, if anyone is a Baptist, if anyone be a Methodist, if anyone be full gospel, if anyone be Word of Faith, if anyone be Church of Christ or Catholic, if anyone does good things, it doesn't say any of those things, does it? But it's amazing how many people equate a relationship with God on good works, or their church affiliation, or the fact that they've been baptized, or they speak in tongues, or they do this, or they do that. That they equate a relationship with God on something that they do. This says, if any man be in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? It's what Jesus was talking about when He said he has to be born again, born from above. And He was talking about His Spirit. How do we get in Christ? How did Adam get out of God? He disobeyed God. How do we get in God? We obey what He said. And here's what He said. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, what is it that's saved? Is it the body? No. Is it the mind or the soul? No. It's the Spirit. It has to begin with the Spirit. It's first things first. First things first. Have you ever asked somebody, are you a Christian? Well, I go to the such and such church. Or I'm a good person. I treat people like I wanted to be. That's not what you ask them. You ask them if they're a Christian, if they're born again. They do not know what you're talking about because they equate it with something that's not right. There's only one thing. See, religion will tell you that there are many ways to God. We hear that in the world today. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter your way to God. You know, you just need to be sincere. You need to believe in God. You need to believe in something. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just do good. I'm okay, you're okay. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and you'll be okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Our problem is we're not okay. We've been separated from God by our sin because of what Adam happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And we followed that example. When we bring our children into the world, they have sin nature. Adam did not have sin nature until he sinned. He produced after his kind. And he produced children that had his nature. Look, Cain killed Abel. The first offspring of fallen man was a murderer. God had to do something. He had to send Jesus into the earth. Jesus came into the earth to fulfill the law of God, to live a perfect life, and then to take our place in His death, burial, and resurrection. He took our punishment. He took our sin. And the only way, listen to this, the only way that we can get to God is through the one who paid the price. And that's Jesus. That's the only way. We can't get baptized into it. We can't get confirmed into it. We can't get blessed into it. It's through Jesus. Can that happen in any church? Mostly. Because it's not affiliated with the church. Let me tell you who you need to be afraid of. Any church that tells you that they're the only way to God, you need to be afraid of that church. If I tell you that, you ought to leave I found God at a funeral. You can find God anywhere, but you got to do it His way. Confessing Jesus as Lord. Believing in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead. He says, you shall be saved. What is it that's saved? It's your spirit. So this says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means everything in your past, plus your nature of sin, has passed away. Let me say this to you. When you get saved, it's not just forgiveness of sin. It literally breaks the power of sin over your spirit. You do not have to sin. Your title from that point forward is not sinner. There is a title that God gives us, and it's called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you say, well, I still sin. Well, join the club. How many of you have sinned since you've become a believer? The rest of you lied. We've all sinned. But that doesn't make you a sinner because you have sinned. Your heart, your new nature, is not a sin nature. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. That's your sin nature. That's everything that you've ever done in your life is gone. All things are become new. You become a new creature in Christ. It's not like you take an old mattress and you refurbish it or you reupholster a chair. No, the old man dies and you have a new man come into life. That's what it means to be born again. First things first. Now, does it make you perfect in all of your attitudes and all of your actions? No. That's another process that we need to talk about, that we have to work on all the time. But sin is not your nature. Sin is no longer your name. It's just something you do every now and then. Used to, it was your nature. You sin because it was your nature. Why does dogs bark? It's their nature. Why do cats meow and pester you? Because it's their nature. Have you been pestered by our church cat out here? That cat will see you coming. Row, 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 row. Why does it do that? I think, don't do that. I want to kick it, but I don't. But why does a cat? Because that's cat's nature. They do that. Ooh. What would have to happen? Could I put it in a dog suit? No. That cat had to be reborn. Well, that's what happens to you. You get reborn. You're not that sinner anymore. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Okay. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. That's talking about in your spirit. That's not talking about the way that you think or the way that you judge things through the flesh. Do you know why some of you make bad decisions? I got to quit. As Christians, it's because you depend more on the flesh than you do the Spirit. If you do everything your flesh says, you're going to be in trouble. If you follow your flesh, is that going to be good for your marriage? Nope. Are men attracted to women? Are women attracted to men? Let me ask you a question, and you're sitting close to your spouse. Mine's somewhere else, so. Are you ever attracted to someone besides your spouse? Is he over there lying? Do you ever see anybody of the opposite sex that you're attracted to? Sure you do. What if you act on that? Have you ever seen this? Okay, listen to this now. Have you ever seen a person that goes from bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship? You know what that is? That's walking after the flesh. Sometimes we make choices based on the flesh. I need a man in my life. No, what you need to be is whole. You need to be content in God. You need to come to the place that you don't need. And then God can do something in your life that He wants to do. But as long as you live by I need, I want, I see, ooh, I got to have, woo, you're going to make bad decisions. Why are gorgeous women attracted to losers? Oh my gosh, I've never seen, good looking girls. They could have better relations, but they're attracted to losers. Let me tell you, it's not a spiritual thing. It's a fleshly thing. I just can't understand why my marriage went bad. I tell you, well, how did you make that decision? Did you make it out of your flesh? Or did you make it out of your spirit? Because your spirit will not guide you wrong. You may look at a woman and she may look good, but she may be... And I'm speaking as a man. We could use the other gender and turn it around, so don't judge me, girls. You look at a woman, she may be pretty to the eye, but she may be bad to the bone. And you can't see that. Your flesh wants her... But after you had her, you don't want her no more. And the other way around, because they may be abusive. And we make so many decisions and we wreck our lives and damage our children because we make so many bad decisions about everything. The way that we choose jobs. Oh, it's more money. How many of you know that more money doesn't mean a good job? I've seen people move their families based on a better situation, and they go to the place and there's not a good church, and they get away from God. That was not a good spiritual decision. That had to do with the flesh. And folks, this is what we as believers need to learn how to do, is to judge things after the Spirit and not after the flesh. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But that means we're going to have to do some stuff. And we're going to talk about that next week. So we got to quit right there. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come at this time. Praise God. Even so, come quickly, prayer team. If you're here today and you need to make any kind of decision, maybe you need to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The prayer team is here today to pray with you. Maybe you need prayer about a situation or circumstance in your life. Our altars are open now. Would you come? And they'll be glad to pray with you. Would you come?